Father, we just thank you for this most glorious, most beautiful day. Father, we stand before your presence with singing and praises and glorifying thy lovely name, the name that's higher than all names. And Lord, we count it such a wonderful privilege this day to be in thy awesome presence. Lord God, that you'd be willing to come down to sit among us, to talk among us. And Father, why I say sit, I feel you're not just looking at us as a harshness, but with a love. You want to be within us. That gentle touch from you, that gentle leading of the mighty shepherd, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we thank you that you're real. We're thankful you're faithful. We're thankful that you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you for thy loving kindness, for thy tender mercy. Oh, for thy saving grace. Jesus Christ, by your giving yourself full, Jesus, we have that redemption. We have that forgiveness that we ask Jesus to come in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you put our sin in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered no more. Father, we thank you for what a God, what a Savior that heals us constantly, that mends us, that gives us that joy unspeakable, that joy forevermore. Joy in the morning, joy in the afternoon, joy in the evening, joy in this. And it goes 24 hours a day, thy joy forevermore. And Father, we thank you for that peace that goes with it. Father, we thank you for that longing presence, Lord God. We long for that time. We're going to be in thy presence. And Father, we thank you this wonderful day. We thank you for thy goodness. And we pray for all those this day that know you in some kind of manner, but we hope that, pray that they will grow into a depth, Lord God, that they might walk pleasing unto you. And Lord, that's all I ask, Lord, that they might walk pleasing unto you. Lord, I, at whatever depth they can get with you, I want them to be an inspiration to you this day. And Father, we lift up your people. We lift them up to a higher realm. We lift them up that they might be exposed to thy glory, and they might receive that pardon, that blessing from on high. Lord God, they might receive that help, that benediction from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, whatsoever shall come in our way, that you will lead us, you will guide us, you shall direct us, Lord God. You are the way maker, and you are Savior, and you are our friend that forgives us, and you are our healer, you are our friend, you are our doctor. You heal us constantly, Lord God, and you keep our minds. Let this mind be in you, which is Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that miracle, that you transform our minds, that we can have the mind of Jesus Christ. And Father, we can fulfill the words of your word, wonderful word. Let the words of a mouth, meditation of our heart, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Father, we can, these things become real. These things can be a mark for us, for your glory. And Father, this day we pray for a mighty blessing here today. We pray that you send angels guard around this place. And Father, we pray for our families, our friends, our loved ones. We pray for our churches. We pray for our pastors. We pray for those in leadership position in the spirit world this day. And we pray for a mighty blessing upon your people. We pray for America this day. We pray for our country this day. We pray for our president this day, the vice president. We pray for all the leadership of this land this day. We pray for the weary, for those going through trials, through tests, through problems. We pray that you are the one that can save. You're the one that can amend. You're the one that can strengthen us, Lord God, that you can give us that positive strength in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you that greater is he that's within us, he is within the world. Father, we pray for the world tensions this day. We pray for the wars that's going on in Iraq and all those countries. We pray, Lord God, for Israel this day. We pray for your mighty people. We pray for a revival from heaven. We pray that the missionaries this day that's proclaiming that word shall have a mighty impact this day, that they will reach many, many souls for Jesus this day. We pray that souls will be touched. We pray that lives will be changed. We pray that your people will grow in the nation and admonition of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God has given us basically, when we're born in this world, we receive the Spirit, our human spirit. And that human spirit, from the time that we grow in this world, it grows either to bad or for good. It has a choosing that takes place and depends on those that's round about. But through the people that surround this one will either slap this person toward God or really bring the person away from God. And this individual that's growing really doesn't know, because when the time of their birth, they know, we knew nothing. We grow where we are today because of some of the bending someone has bent with God's grace brought us to this place that we are. And then it becomes our choosing every day that we bend more and more toward God. Because we're like a tree that God wants to furl, not in our own, but He wants to change our direction. And what takes place, there's the natural man, and then there's the inner man. And most people are really only moving in the natural man. The natural man is the outward part. The natural man is what's in the head. What you know up here is basically the natural man. So, and a lot of people, this is where they've been taught, and this is where they're living for God, even in the natural. They know if they pray and do some things right, they can achieve certain destinations, they can do certain things, but they know it all within the framework of the mind. In that, there becomes a possibility of torments, because the mind can get tormented anytime there comes a power that's against what you're thinking, and there becomes a war in your mind. That war becomes a collision of two different elements that's coming together, and whichever one wins out, you become the victim of whichever way you're going. If God wins out, you're going to be walking toward heaven. But in the mind, it's a scary condition. God brought this to my heart. It's very scary to have to walk in that kind of relationship when you're doing it in the thinking ability you have, because we don't know all things. Number one, that when we come to Jesus, God knows all things. But many of us haven't been taught. That's why the inner man has to grow. The inner man needs the Spirit of God. The inner man has to be led by the Spirit of God. Whichever one becomes dominant is the one that will lead us. When we was a child, the old man is very out in front. When we come to know Jesus, that day of our salvation, for that moment, the inner man is leading. And every time you pray through, the inner man is leading. Listen, if you never pray through, the old man is basically leading. When you pray through, you don't really know what's going on. And that's the time that God can uncouple you to a place that the inner man starts becoming the dominant one. Now, we read the Word of God to benefit us all, and we learn that God uses the natural man to come in. It's His way of bringing us into the spiritual. Now, God built this earth special that you and I could choose to live with Him or live without Him. And God gives us that ability that we choose or refuse. If we choose, we go God's way. But God's way, if you start studying the Word, it talks much emphasis on the move of the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God's presence is part of it. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. It's all pertaining to the inner man. The inner man gets full of the Spirit. But we pray through the Spirit. It's hard to keep the inner man in command if the inner man is not strong enough to keep the outward man from doing wrong things. These two people live within the same housing. They live within us. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. I persuaded nothing, and that persuasion we must constantly be at right hand with God, because He is the controller of our will. He's the controller of our emotions. And that's why we don't go by feelings. We go by who we are. We go through faith. God brings the feelings from Him. The enemy can come and bring feelings to us. We can go to a football game if everybody's happy, but they're happy just being happy in unrighteousness. And sin has a pleasure for a moment. So if we go by feelings, we go someplace and, we are getting our ears tickled. We get people start saying good, wonderful things about us. We think, well, we'll just, and it may be from the pits of darkness. And there's a trap lured for us that we might be partially, but we'll not totally ever come to God. The devil likes to misguide us. He likes to tell us, well, you just go to church, do what you want. But and he has a conception, he's got a belief for you, if you'll only do certain things, just like he told God, he said, if you take the restraints from Job and let me come against him, he'll sin against you. And God says, no, I got faith in Job.
That's what God said. I have faith in you. I've got faith that you're going to stand, and having done all, you're going to stand. You're not going to let nothing fool you. You're going to walk, and there's only one ability that we can be not fooled by is by staying in the Spirit. There's something about that heavenly language as we appropriate it that becomes a great strength. It becomes a great power because we're not knowing. We need to feel the inner man. The inner man, the natural man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for the foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man judgeth all things, yet himself is judged no man. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that we might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. So I've never go to church where anybody even says anything about basically the inner man, but that's where the hidden thing, that we must lay off for the things that bring us down. But when the right man is he's in office. It's like the Republicans and Democrats. One's in office, the other's off. And that's the way we are. If God, the Spirit of God's in operation, the glory of God, God can get to us any moment of the day. His presence there, as a present, omnipotent presence of God, that God can get in touch with us. He can motivate us. He can steer us. He can move within us. He calls us, we answer him. But we're off here doing the wrong, and we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We're telling people we're led by the Spirit, but in reality, we're listening at the world. We're getting our direction, and many times we're getting through the Word. But the Bible says, Jesus went out and hung himself. And another scripture says, do thou likewise. We need the Spirit of God to bring us out of confusion in the Word. If where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Bible says in Jambres and it says in Timothy, they went out to steal the Word from Paul. They were against, and they let people believe that they was somebody when they weren't nobody. Jambres and the two of them, and these are those that seduce many, many. They disturb many hearts because they're not run through by the Spirit from heaven. And this brings us sort of up to date to where we are. God doesn't bring confusion among his people. Confusion comes by disobeying God. It comes by disorderly conduct. It comes by not having the right nature within your life. Not having that love nature. Love suffereth long. Love honoreth not itself. Is not puffed up. Think about it. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. We're not to seek our own way. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Beareth all things. Beareth all things. That's the work of the ministry. That's the work. Renounce. The Bible says, Paul says, renounce the hidden thing. Renounce them. That means to get rid of them. Renounce them. That's what God's speaking in my heart. That's what revival means. It doesn't mean as us getting up here and having a hallelujah good time. Revival is praying through, getting right with God, and God will bring you victory day by day, every hour of the day. He will bless you. He will keep you. He will create you a right mind. He will give you a direction. He will give you a drive. He will give you a determination to go on for him. If all the world comes against you, you'll still stand strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're a woman conquers through him which love you. If you're by yourself, praise you the Lord. So don't worry where you are. God will direct your path. He will make it complete. He will visit your heart. But we must be determined to realize any time that the old outward man comes, it means that we might have a tendency of saying something, even a slang word. Now that's getting pretty narrow, I know. But if you'll cancel out those slang words, you won't have any trouble coming in the bad words. And the jokes, I really detest some of the jokes that I hear that are some of our TV pastors, because it has a way, the Bible says, jesting is a way that takes us from the Spirit of God. Now, I know the natural man gets a lot of preachers, they preach with jokes, because that's all they have. But with the Spirit, God has something supernatural, the Spirit that's heavenly. It's directed from heaven. God's right here. His presence, he says, he will be in our midst. And we must believe that. We got to believe it, that he is greater. God brought me through a time of hallelujah. And people, I told to share with two people yesterday, I got to pray for the wife. God's going to heal her. But I said, I'm thankful the time that God brought me through as a little boy in him. Because I had to choose every day to do God's will or not. I had to learn his plan. And all, it's not hard. He takes us like we are, and that day He sees if we're going to bend toward Him, or if we're saying, no, I'm rigid. I'm going to get mine from my pastor. I'm going to get mine from somebody else, but I'm not going to get it from you. And I didn't mean to say it sarcastically. That's what God showed me that we do to Him. My first endeavor, and I'm not putting man down, but I'm seeing that when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God told me that night when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He says, you read the book of Revelation. I sat down as soon as I got home and read the whole book of Revelation through. And then He says, I want you to go into Henderson County Jail and you start preaching to the inmates. And I hadn't done either one of those things. And so I thought, well, I was going to make my pastor happy and I was going to tell him that God had called me to go into jail and preach. He says, you're not going in there. He says, hear me, you're not going into jail. So I didn't argue with him. I went home and we still having a 6-week revival at that time. I went home and I prayed. The Spirit of God says, don't worry what anyone says. You've got to learn to hear me. From that time, from this day, I've heard, hallelujah, my God has to be the one that I listen to. I'd have made serious mistakes if I'd listened to him. I know, and I failed God a few times, and I've had, it's like that one, that prophet that went out and told us, he says, you come to my house, and the prophet said, no, I got to go on the Lord. And he says, no, he says, you come to my house, and I'll take care of you. And then so when the other prophet, the seed, the righteous prophet that God had sent, because he bended and went the wrong way, he was killed. And that's the way we are. We got to stand true against the ghost of men that comes forth. And that's basically all they are, is a bunch of ghosts. There is no power. The Holy Ghost is the power.
Amen.
They're just fleshly things that come up. Oh, you should do this. I'm not a drive against, but God wants to move in the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's cleansing. There's power. There's a gift of love that you cannot get any place else. There's a feeling that you'll never receive anywhere else in this world, but walking God's way, walking His talk. Being delivered from the elements, the rudiments of this world, the powers that bring us down to a place of disclosure from our old man. We need to disclose our old life and come in to the new man and the God, realizing that we can fail God at any moment without Him. Our foundation is on the Lord Jesus Christ, and while we're here upon earth, it's not as a solid rock. We got to formulate the anointing by praying, seeking God. We're like Peter walking upon the water. But where we walk, we might walk there today, but we need the leadership of the Spirit of God, because where we walk today, God may not want to walk there tomorrow. God will want to walk you in a new path, a new direction. And this is very hard for a lot of people because we've regimented in our minds that we got to think what we're doing. But if I thought what I was doing, I'd never do nothing. Now, it's not saying that my mind cannot be used, but it's not the dominant one that in my senses. When Betty says, go do something, I said, let me pray first, basically. We have to put God first, and He expects that. You say, oh, that's, you know, people say, oh, don't do that. You're getting way out. Well, you might get him way out, but if we want to stay in the will of God, we'll go that way.
Amen.
There's other ways of distractions to distract us from the real, you know, in the military, they put out little, like a smoke, that's really not good, but it distracts the enemy. It brings him down there when there's nothing there. It does like in the Old Testament when Gideon, they thought there were thousands and thousands of troops there. When God says it's like God spoke. And that's the same way we need the presence of God, because the enemy comes to take away the glory. And there really might not be nothing to it. If we stand strong, God will take us through it. It looks like a mountain before us, but actually, when the smoke goes past, there's nothing there. Jesus is there. But in ourselves, we look not for things are seen. We look for things that are not seen. We must educate ourselves in the Lord. And our education comes in Him. That I know, that's how I need to know. I need to feed the spirit man. I need to feed the inner man, that he would grow, he'd be dominant. And I can work as a mechanic, I can work as an operator, I work only, but yet the fundamental part is through the Spirit. God lets you be productive in where you are. You're not going to change, you can still drive your car, you can still function, but there is some commandments that you're no longer led by man or man's direction. You're led by the Spirit of God. I don't care if you go to the First Baptist Church or the First Methodist Church or whatever. You can have God as your leader. He is your captain. He is the way maker. He is a peace officer for you. He is your blessing. And when we start going in our own selves and trying to figure it out up here, we get into big troubles. And pretty soon we get upset. And pretty soon we get in despair. And if we're not careful, we have to call in the, for a, I was going to say, head people that work on your heads and these things, because warring takes place. God wants to eliminate us from the powers that come against this mind. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. His mind is reservations for God only. God only. And I have to guard that. Every day I have to guard it. Every day I have to say, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want this guile. I only want you. And as we come to God every day as a child. We come and say, Lord, rescue me. I rescue the perishing. I'm here. I need thy mighty help. I need thee because I realize that I am zero and you're beyond this. I cannot even imagine how you, and with you, multiply me into thy presence, that I might enter in thy kingdom to do thy work this day, O Lord. Help me to be, to practice what I preach. Help me to elevate the height that thou would have me be. Help me to walk as thou would have me to walk. To talk as thou would have me to talk. As we surrender ourselves to him. And you know, we take this into church today, they would put this out of the window. They would say it's from the devil, but it's from God. It's in the word. I was reading it in Psalms today. It says basically what I'm saying is in the Word of God. In Psalms, the Bible starts telling that God's looking down from heaven to see if any will serve him. He sees none, he says. He says he sees few. And that disturbs David because David's the one that's writing this. But that's what he sees. He wants to change us. He doesn't want us to be like we once was. He wants us not to act like we was when we were a child. He wants us to not be like we was a year ago. He wants us to come higher. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to arrange ourselves. And we don't judge others. We judge ourselves. We continually judge ourselves that we might proclaim the Word of God, that we might be active in this move of the Spirit, that we be active under His command, that we be active in the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. We have the insight from heaven that doesn't come through our eyes seeing, but it comes through His Spirit that dwells within us. We see as the Lord moves upon us. We get our visitation from God. And He's never wrong. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is the ultimate, the glorious, glorious beyond. And that's what the Apostle Paul was having trouble with the early church. The early church was a carnal church. It was a church full of knowing everything in the minds. And Paul basically had to tell him, you got to come out of that. You need to be full of the Spirit. I think if I can find it, it's in Thessalonians. It talks about the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. But we really need the command of the Holy Ghost. The day that we're living in. The Holy Ghost is wonderful. Praise His wonderful name. He is glorious. But God, you want me to stand still, and I'm going to stand still, and having done all to stand. God's going to bless us if we just hold on. God's here to strengthen us, to help us, to enable us, that we might be more than conquerors through Him which loved us. Isn't that precious? That we're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. Praise you, the Lord. You know, sometimes the Lord just wants us to wait upon Him. You know, I get amazed at my wife. My wife likes to have the noise of the TV on. But where we really get with God, God's bringing us here for special need. We need to get quiet. We need to say, Lord, you need to speak to me. And that's why we go to church. We really don't need to talk to a lot of people afterwards. God wants to continually talk to us after we leave. He wants to bend our leaves a little bit and He wants to touch us up. He wants to love us. He wants to strengthen us. But we get so busy. We want to go eat dinner. We want to talk with Sister Sue. We want to talk with Brother Harry. We really haven't got much time for God. God favors us. He directs us. And that's why I like jobs. No wonder me and the Lord. You'll never find nothing like being in His presence. There's nothing. You say, I'm all alone. Praise God. That's glorious. That's what God wants. He wants you to know Him. And He wants to know you. He already knows you, but He wants you to make it real that He can be invited in to your heart, in your mind. That your mind doesn't no longer want to be confused with the darkness, the things that relate as the common goals of even many Christians. The goals of many Christians is having the biggest church,
having, which they're good goals, but they're not what God wishes. God's looking for a people who are supernaturally motivated by His presence. There's a lot of people building good foundations, but they've forgotten that's only for salvation. A lot of churches are salvation churches, and that's all they have. But God wants to go beyond that. Apostle Paul said, why do you no longer started in Galatians, the third chapter? You started in the Spirit. Why do you quit moving the Spirit? We started in the Spirit. After most of us, says when we come to Pentecost, we started in the Spirit after we got saved. But our wings are clipped. We put down. Now you just sit down, little kids, and sit down there and you play your Tinker Toys. Basically, that's what happens. God's got a wonderful pattern for you. I could not even tell you what God unveiled for the people if they would just sit down and be quiet before God. That's the key. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God's been wanting me to say this for a long time, but He made it possible. But we need to totally wait upon Him. I got down to the altar, and I didn't say many things, and many times when I go home, I don't say nothing. I wait upon God. I don't say anything. I said, Lord, I'm not even worthy. I leave myself open, and I start walking. God's presence just start coming down like a flood of rain. And that scripture that woman gave me as the dry land, that's what the church is trying to do. They've got dry ground, and they've got a lot of dry ground. They've got dry ground out here, and I don't mean to be speaking against the church in a negative way, but there's a problem in there. That dry ground needs to be moist from heaven.
Amen.
That's the only way that will receive a bountiful crop. And the Bible says, and when this happens, it's the blessing of God upon that. That's the sign that God's blessing them. Unless your offering is placed that off and it is not being blessed, you've got something you need to wait upon God. You need to seek Him and see why there's not a love offering of rain put upon thy sacrifice, that you might have a harvest of harvest, that you might be blessed from heaven. It takes the supernatural power from heaven. We only go part way with God in anything we do. Now I know that it's compelled to men to go out and make you followers, and which is right. But that is basically to the unsaved. But when we become saved, there comes a new direction. And there comes a new qualification. And it doesn't stop there. God's proven to me, it does not stop there. And they really shouldn't even be basically together. There should be a dividing point. Or the churches can use the older, but they are part of the effort to get the new one saved. They have that charisma, that character of God, that they're part of the fellowship. They're not just one man up there in front and doing it as the natural man, but they're serving God as a community from heaven. They're being donated from God, that God's speaking through His servants. He's speaking thus says the Spirit of God, and great signs and wonders as the early church take place, it will take place as God denotes it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. That is real. His powerful, His anointing from heaven will bind the efforts from the enemy. And the things, when the enemy is not being bound, it means there's no one that can touch him. There's no constraints upon him. There's no controlling factors that come against him. He's loose. He's like Lucifer. He's loose. He is Lucifer, and he's loose. But God wants to bind them in the name of Jesus. I bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. We lose this power of God. And that's the power, the commandment of God that God put upon the church, Lord Jesus Christ, that we might receive strength, that we might be strong in the Lord. But it comes by quietness unto God. Having Him to come down in that special time. That special voice. It's so serious. We're living in very serious times. Non-satisfactions come into so many people. They're not satisfied with what they're going on. The world will not satisfy you. Brother Clinton and I heard a message about the same what I'm saying now. But that's really right. People are not satisfied in what they have. If you go up in the old man is dominant in your life, and the inner man is been put down, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to have a lot of joy. You always got to have someone pray for you. But see, the other really multiplies because you'll start praying for others. Just pray for you won't even need to pray for yourself. Because God promises you that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And that's a part of growing up. You don't have to pray for yourself because you know you're in good hands. And it just shows a sort of blasphemy report if you call on God. Because God's already given you the name. You're His child. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
I will give you greater things than you can even desire. What? Why should we call upon Him when God's doing these things? It's just bringing Him down. God puts the Spirit of God, and there's time when God's not going to speak to us. And I was talking to you the other day, and those times we carry on. We carry on. A soldier, unless his orders are changed, he keeps carrying on. He keeps carrying on. When his orders are changed, he does reverse march. He'll go backwards. Whatever he does to the commands. And that's the way God is, the same way. And things as you might say, the world says, oh, what's that? God says it does it for a test many times, to see if you'll be willing to follow Him. Be willing, that great brings great joy to God when you put Him first. That's what's seeking first, His kingdom, that you do His will. You're not out here just lollygating around and just doing your own thing, but you're waiting upon God. You're continually waiting every day of your life. You're waiting on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. As we do that, we renew our strength. We renew new vitality. God has a blessing. And that scripture says basically that the Holy Ghost comes down to bless us, to strengthen us. He is the power. The Holy Ghost enlarges our blessing, enlarges our, helps us, strengthen us. He fortifies with the Holy Ghost. He is our helper. He is determined to save His people. He wants to bring His people before Jesus Christ as the bride of Jesus Christ, that His bride might come to Jesus Christ, being perfected in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and He is our waymaker, that we might appraise the Lord from heaven.
That our whole attitude is to glorify my Father.
My attitude is to please Him. Bible said that we might walk worthy of the Lord and unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And the only way that we can do that is walk in the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. The Spirit of God enables us to go multiply our gift. The Spirit of God waters our fruit. He waters it. He multiplies it. He enables us, give us that direction. He gives us that ability that we might go forth in the name of Jesus. We might receive the correction from heaven. If there is correction, God gently leads His people. He doesn't hurt us. He doesn't browbeat us. God's with loving kindness, tender mercy, very favorable, loving you, strengthening you. And He realizes that we're made of dust. He realizes that we're made of things that fall apart. But one of these days, we're going to get a new body. Sister Bertie, today we're going to get a new home. Amen. Sister Janet, you're going to have a new home in heaven. Brother Clint, we're going to have a place that never grows old.
Amen.
And I feel for a lot of the younger people nowadays, because what we've taught has gotten into the inner man in them. And the thing about it brings people in the place of being their own captain. And what this does, it brings divisions. It brings churches that have little roosters. This is the top one now. This becomes competition. Churches become very competitive. But God doesn't want competitiveness in His people. He wants love, joy. He wants surrender. And competition is not surrender. It's the opposite. It's boasting. It's putting yourself forward. It's pride. It's all the splendors. It's like Hollywood. It's like the arraignment. Everybody sees me, that I'm Mr. So-and-so, when God says, oh, child, you're nothing. You need to come into my house, and I will bless you, and I'll strengthen you, my ones. Come to me, and I shall keep thee. Come, for my hands are open to one thy beloved. Come, and I shall touch thee in a very favorable way, and I shall bless thee, and I shall touch thee, and I shall come upon thee mightily. And I say, be not afraid. What the skeptics will say, or what they shall do, or for I say, even those that are in leadership, and they do not understand, because I, the Lord thy God, shall override those even. I say, for I have commissioned thee to walk above this realm of this world, and I say, very few are walking the place that I wish for thee to walk. So I say, there is great room for thee this day. Be not afraid, because there are very few walking with thee. Take it with great delight. Because I say that many will not even understand where thou art, because I say thou art not walking even as natural men. But I say my people need to come to this place, because I say I'm coming for a church, all this world. And I say for those who will seek me throughout this world, my arms are open toward those widely this day. For I'm wishing for that day. I'm wishing for that harvest. I'm wishing for that harvest of souls that I came from the foundation of the world, when I built this world, that I would let man live so many years. Mankind, women and children all, at the end of those years, if either they would receive me
or they reject me. For I've made it possible that all ones, since I sent the Savior, Jesus Christ, through His blood, that all people in this world could be saved. For those who will seek me, they shall surely find me. And I shall find refuge for those who will call upon my name. And I shall bless those ones. But for those that deny me, I shall deny them at that day. And they shall not find rest. I said, the wicked will not find rest in this last hour. For they shall be deceived. And they shall come through hardness of times. They shall come in the days of many pitfalls. For I say before this world very shortly is going to be times of troubles. Times of Job troubles that have never been seen before. And I say the minds of men will not be able to cope with the situations going to come against them. They will have a determination in their mind, but their minds will not be able to come against. They will need the power of God to come against these things. And I say it will take my creation to renew that which I have given. For I say natural men are going in their own activity. They've learned how to school themselves. They've learned to live in my dwellings, but I have not ordered what they're doing. They're coming in a partial way, but I wish for my people to walk totally above reproach. And I say there's many partials as walking with different voices in this world, but I say they're only walking in little segments of my will. I wish for my people to walk in all segments in my will. I wish for my people to be out from among them, that my people might be separated, that I could glory my people in this last hour to say, this is my chosen vessel, for they are mine, they are my righteous ones. For I want to exploit these in this last hour, that they would show forth the world. These are my blessings, these are my children, that I have promised them eternal life, and I shall give it that day, and I shall bless them at that day, and they will no longer wander. And they will no longer be a hiss of this land, but they shall be blessed because I, the Lord thy God, have called them by my name. And I shall bless them and I shall give them an inheritance that fades not away. And they shall walk in victorious living every day. And I shall keep them from this day on. If they shall trust the Lord thy God, I shall keep thee, my ones. Be not afraid, for I shall be with thee, saith the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Lord Sam, do not lean in our own understanding. Many of us have been taught for the day that we go into school from our folks, our fathers and our mothers, that we learn. And this comes to pass that we might all men and women learn to know the things that's very vital to us, reading and writing, being able to cope in life. God understands that. God understands our learning in ABCs and all the arithmetics and all these areas. He understands that. He wishes for us to do those things. But He wishes for us to also grow in Him as we have grown in these education. We'll also grow in likewise. He's just asking us to grow in like manner in Him.
Amen.
We grow in the natural, but we don't want to grow in the spiritual. We've been told we go to church. We go to church. Sunday, we have Sunday school. Church, Lord's just put this in my heart. Church, we have church. And basically, that's it. We go home. We can't leave about like we come. Next week, Wednesday or Thursday, we might go to midweek. But in our achievements of life, we go to diesel engine school. We go to all these things because we want a better life. We're looking for a better life here while we're here. We look for jobs that have benefits. We look for a job that gives us, when we hit certain age, that we're going to have retirement. We look for jobs that has a hospital plan. And we look for a job that's going to carry us on through until we expel out of this world. But all we're planning for is the natural man. This natural man will always, whatever it is, it'll be here until we fail. When our heart stops, then we're gone. But the only thing is we're leaving out the part that remains. But even that time is very short. 100 years is very short compared to eternity. It's a very short segment. Some people only have a real short segment. And that we need to reapply that God wants us to create within a right heart and renew a right spirit within us, that we grow from glory into glory. He has a special voice that He wants us to grow in the Lord. He's not against learning. We need to grow in the Lord. And if we grow in the Lord, we will naturally grow in the Spirit.
Amen.
And they're not confusing. Because what you put in your mind stays there. But what God's not against you having good things in your mind. He knows you got to cook. He knows you have to exist. God's with you on that. But the thing about it, if we're not keeping control, it gets a house of wrong things. We're thinking about problems. We're thinking about negativeness. We're thinking about unbelief. We're thinking about people not being healed. We're thinking of all the negative. That's the kindness area. But then it goes deeper than that. Pretty soon we're thinking and things that hidden things, wrong things. I mean, we're thinking wrong problems. We're getting angry. We're getting sinful. We're going beyond. We're going a little creepy. But if we don't curb that, pretty soon we're going to the greater depth. We're getting out here, and literally we start going deeper. We go in the depth of robbing banks, speeding down the highway, getting drunk, all these terrible things that we have to pay if we're caught doing these things. But God sees it all anyway. If we're not caught now, He sees it in heaven. But these things bring mankind down. Mankind right now, if all the policemen, we didn't have to have policemen, praise God, it'd be a happy land. There's a lot of whoredoms of wrong things out here that we'll face even before we get through town. And they're from the enemy. And the only way that he is choked down is through prayer. When God's saints quit seeking God, when God's saints quit praising God, when God's saints quit loving God, they quit praying. And all these constraints that only prayer can handle are no longer, they're not crippled anyway. These are, actually they get magnified, they get greater. They get gangs, and it's our fault as Christians. Because God called us that we might police the world, the old church. And the church is not ready for that. We're not ready. We're not where we should be. The bottom line is God needs a powerful church that's mighty. Mighty through God, putting on strongholds, casting. We're not a flimsy, flamsy church. We're a glorious church. Not spotted wrinkle. Not the church of God, but do the will of God. But we have not done it. The churches have done it. They can go to their prayer meetings. They don't even know how to pray. I've been there. They don't pray in the Spirit. They pray, oh Lord, pray. I'm down and out. God knows they're down and out. They need a revival. But we're the policemen for God. We're at fault. But God uses people to change and alter the direction of a country. In Psalms this day, I read it. It says, all the unrighteous shall go into hell. All unrighteousness shall go to hell. And all nations that forget, not right, I thought it was righteous, but said that forget God. We can know God as a child, and pretty soon when we're 30, 40 years old, we've got so hardened that we've forgotten God. We've forgotten, the church has forgotten God. I see it everywhere. Churches, there's no longer any unction of the Spirit of God. They don't want to move the Spirit. They're satisfied where they are. And this realm will bring them down to a devil's hell, and we will have problems in this land, that we will have pitfalls. We're going to have things that's going to come to pass because old church has not lifted up itself to where God has called them to be. That says the Spirit of God. Glory to God. And nobody would want to hear this, but it's the truth. Whatever they call in little bitty prayer meetings, don't do nothing. The Bible says, when a righteous man pray, he woos God. And there's no move from heaven. I know. I'm not myself right now. God's here to magnify Himself, to glorify Himself. I want to do the will of God. When God calls me to pray, I pray. I don't care what happens. But I do it for His will. But we've got so many people that cannot even pray. They cannot even do nothing. And when you start telling people we're going to have a move of God, and it's in there thinking up here, and nothing happens, it's not going to come that way. You're not going to, revival's not going to come up there and say, well, let's sing Psalm 928 and whatever it is. It doesn't come that way. It comes by they that wait upon the Lord that Amen. Touches the heart of God.
Amen.
That touches the heart of God. That wait upon God. God says, sit there, my child, until I go out and visit the stars and I'll come back and visit you. We're not willing to sit there. We're not willing to wait upon God. Oh, I'm going to go down to my church today. I'm going to tell my pastor what you said. God says, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to visit you. God won't speak to us sometime because we're not where we should be. He will not speak to us. He said, oh, church, arise. I have a blessing for you. I see people that are men of the cloth, women of the cloth, that say terrible things. I've heard it. We're responsible for what we're saying. We need to have a voice of praise. Hallelujah. That I believe my God can touch me. I believe my God can touch that belief, that desire. And nothing can shatter that from my being. That's what God said. Nothing shall be able to move us. Nothing. I'm persuaded neither life nor death nor angels nor nothing. Nothing shall be able to move us. If
Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a mighty blessing here this day. I pray, Lord, for your mighty acts. I pray for your mighty revelations. I pray for the mighty visitation. I pray that you'd bind all hindering powers. And Lord, I've never really spoke this way, I don't think. Lord, I'm thankful. Bless your people. Bless them mightily. And Father, bless them in every their endeavor. Let them grow. Let them grow and be, have your nature. Father, we just give you praise and honor. We pray that you'd make yourself real to us this day. Lord God, that we would remain faithful. That our offerings would be pleasing in thy sight. Lord God, that you would water our offerings, that it might grow as a blessing. Oh Lord, that our offerings might be magnified, and that's what you're speaking to the church, that we should have that power to be able to pray that principalities, powers of darkness would be loose in the name of Jesus. But it takes holy living. And that's what you're telling me. It takes a holy living is all that will break those problems. When we live only partially, we don't have the full antidote. And we need that antidote that's able to go against principalities, powers of darkness. We would do the will of God, O Lord. And Father, we thank you and we praise you this day. But we pray, Lord God, touch your pastors. Bless those in roles of leadership. Father, we pray that they might get an insight from heaven. Father, I can see they don't want to know what I know. I feel sorry for them. I pray that you'd lift them up. And Father, you will not let me go and persuade none of them to even talk to them. So Lord, I just pray that you'd move mightily in a mighty way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Boy. That's what he told me years ago. He said, I'll make you look good. If you'll just dare trust me. And I said, Lord, I want to trust you. And he said, Bert, if you want to, you want to? And I said, yeah, I want to. Because I knew my days. I was over date. June 6th, 1035, 1977. I would have been in heaven or hell. But I chose.
Amen.
I think I would have been, because God told me if he had taken me, then I had chose right. So apparently I must have chose right.
Amen.
But he extended my life from that time on.
Praise God. Amen.
And he said, I'm going to put you in a column that no one knows. And he said, no one. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy, they were all there together. I don't say this boasting, but that God is real.
Yes.
And the God gave me the endorsement of him.
Yeah.
So if people don't want it, you know, that's all right. I don't want to be underwritten by nobody but God. If I choose to do wrong, then I'm in big trouble. I'm in serious trouble. We got to choose right day by day. 2 Thessalonians, 1st chapter and the 5th verse. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful message. And in much assurance. Much assurance. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God in that one. As ye know what manner of men we were among you, and ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Even through much affliction, God gives that joy. And the Lord looked down from heaven. When I read this, God, I just see it just so vividly. Upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. God's telling me very few.
Where are you reading?
14th chapter, the second verse.
Psalm 14.
They have all gone aside. See, they've once known. Mm-hmm. All together become filthy. There is none of them that doeth good. No, not one. God says, this is my word.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Have all workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is the refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall... God's going to bring, he's going to bring Israel back.
Yes, he is.
But he wants to do it within us before this takes place.
Yes.
And that line is very close. We don't know exactly where it's at, but the Bible says knowing the time, now it's high time. So we see these signs even as like a wake up call.
Yes.
But you don't hear any more about the wake up calls.
No.
But I haven't forgotten them. And God is steadily coming. He's coming to a glorious church. And I really predict that next year is going to be worse by far than this year. If God doesn't come, there's going to be some
some heartaches, and I'm not so sure that there's going to be a real heartache in Iraq. There's going to be something that's going to develop us beyond what we want. Prayer changes things.
Amen.
And that's when the righteous cry out, God hears them.
Praise God.
He hears the cry of his people. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, as Moses bent the heart of God, he told God, he says, you know, the heathen, if you do the Israelites in, they're going to talk basically, they're going to talk about you and able to, and God says, okay, Moses, I'll just, and God doesn't, well, God's righteous. But what I believe God seen, he wanted to see what Moses was going to do too.
Amen. That's right.
He tests us.
Yes.
We need to do specialists. God wants specialists. We can move through the Spirit. But it's serious business when we see souls that are actually dying. And there's a remedy for it. But the churches, what the churches do, they got a big church for the old people at our age. You know what they did? You go on trips all over the world. This church, the old people, keep them out of problems. They keep them out. They just go out there and go on boat trips and all this. I believe that's the biggest fallacy. I believe that's terrible.
Yes.
Bible says there's no retirement. We keep on keeping on, keeping on. God will renew the spirit as we stay active in God.
Praise
and why our old people are getting, why they're senile, why they're getting, it's because they're not staying active in God. You leave God out of your life too much and you're going to fall down in a pitfall. I feel for those old people. They've had the joy of the Lord and they've lost that joy. They have, my mother had nothing to seek for and she, and the church she's at, she wasn't very active. She became non-active. And she lost that joy. She lost that peace. And I felt so, for her. God sees our hearts. I don't see any retirement for any of us.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going until God takes my breath.
Amen.
Hope I'm just doing like this when he takes me home. No, we just say, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
I have no way of relating to you how much, what a wonderful journey it's been. You know, I mean, I've had not one, but hundreds of put me down. So, you know, you're nothing. And every time they say that, God says, you are something, my son. God, don't worry what they say about you. I'm here, and I've called you, and don't worry what no one says, and I'll provide for you. I will keep you. And the hardest thing I went through in my life is when I went through that sickness. And I knew then, it got to me that all the pastors, a lot of them were praying against me, because they thought that I was out of the will of God. And God was showing me something about what was going to happen in that period of time, that our lives were very insecure within ourselves. Our lives are very temporal, and we could even lose control in our own lives very easily. I learned that very vividly, and from that day on, I started climbing up, and I said, Lord, I want all you got, and I'm still climbing.
Amen.
And it's been such a heavenly journey. It's been such a wonderful, I can express how, you know, and I'm nothing. I don't want you to be afraid of me, because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we don't hurt one another. We uplift one another.
Yes.
We don't speak ugly of no one. We lift them up, encourage them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I pray that this ministry that God's given me will only encourage you. And that's what God wants. He wants it only to encourage you on to Him. How come is Sheila? Glory. Go on. Wow. Ooh. I see heaven.
Amen.
I see heaven coming down. God's coming down. It says, as a scroll, it says that John, beloved, sees the heaven coming down and from heaven. And he said, there shall be no more sickness. There will be no need of policemen. There will be no need of undertakers. There will be no need of the things, that problems we face in life. We're going to be liberated into the glory world. It's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
Translated into his kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory. Wow. Amen. Well, we had church today. But you know, yesterday was ordained by God. God just told me, says, you go down to a certain place and wait there. And I seen this car drive up. And I said, well, that's what you want me doing. This Lord. So they said, would you pray for us? And I said, I sure will. I ended up being there an hour, left my car running. I'll be there just a second. The Lord, you know, the Lord just knows. He puts whatever he wants. I love all of you very much. And I just want to say that God bless you. I hope that you're encouraged for the Lord. In closing, I would like to say something. I see many churches, and I'm not judging, but God has shown me this. They have been very active members in the former years. But it's like a wrong spirit is coming in there on them now. Mm-hmm. Brother Clinton, I seen it this morning. And these people are no longer pliable to the Lord. And it's a pitfall of the enemy. He wants to take every one of us to devil's hell. And the problem is, Those people need to stay active the day that God takes them home. We need to encourage them. We need to pray for them. But I've seen this, it's sort of a ongoing situation. I see in your church, I see it in every church I go to. I see it as the young ones take over, the older ones are sort of put back on a shelf, and they're not, so there's no move of the Spirit, and it's just get up, and when we get up there and praise, it's wonderful, but what happens when we have services of praise? God wants to come and bring us to a place that we bring repentance. And we're like Saul. We take that music as our life is just right. Our life, we're so wonderful. We're so glorious. God's spoken this. I'm not trying to belittle, but that's what happened. And that, pretty soon, we're so wonderful that when they even speak, their sorcerers say, oh, our little children, everything is just wonderful. That's not from God. There's no good thing within us. Only what God is in us. And I don't care what all of them say. You need to humble yourself however means it means. Stay humble before God and God will exalt you in your time by His place, His appointment. And we're appointed unto man to guide, but then comes the judgment when He has appointed us to not come into wrath, but come into the fellowship of God's presence. The wrath of man is upon many, many. You could go places and see the brothers having arguments and schisms and all problems faced one to another. It's not for the Lord. God wants unity. What the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty in. Unity is from God. We're not to have problems one to another. We're to love one another. We're to greet one another in love and charity. And I'm not so sure that all of our leaving services, we should go home and not do a lot of what you call loose talking for a while. Because God many times wants to talk to us. That's the time when you leave a service. That's the time that you need to stay open to God. Because God will come and tell you, says, I want to further this out. You need to change this. I don't want you to do this so much. I want you to do more of this. Because that's the reaction that takes place when you're in the presence of God. And so we lose that. We've lost that ability to allow God to search our heart. To how God come down and speak to my heart that I might surrender my will to Him. I have to constantly come to Him and say, Lord, what do you want me to change? And He changed me. I'm different this week than I was last week. He wants us to come into that place of processing ourselves out of a giant computer and says, Lord, I get rid of this old trash. I don't need it no longer. I don't need this baggage no longer. I don't want this overweight. I want you to lighten my load that I lift higher. We lift higher as we lighten our load. As we take on the weights, we come down. Pretty soon we're sunk in the mire, and pretty soon we're sunk down to the degree that we're no help. We lose our own way as we give ourselves totally to God. It's like feathers that grow on us every day, and we got to pluck off the old ones. We put on new. It's like God just showed me the other day. We took a duck, that fuzz, whatever they call it. We put that on, and it starts growing. But then we got to remove the old. We got to remove that. We got to continually take a process and, Lord, I need your help. I need your power. I need your anointing because I don't want to corrupt my life. My life as a sacrifice to you that I would live holy thee, O Lord. That would be my prayer. That would be my aim. That would be my desire. My desire would be to serve God. To refrain from the things of this world, and I would live a wholesome life before God, that God could speak to my heart, and I would be sensitive to His will, to His calling.